The Tom Woods Show, episode 648.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Is email driving you crazy and taking over your life? Do you feel like you can never possibly get and stay caught up? Well, here's my secret weapon. Sanebox.com/woods. That's SaneBox.com/woods. Folks, if you enjoy this show, you're really going to like the free course I've made available to you on the real history of the U.S. presidents. Very, very helpful, especially during an election year. Check it out at freehistorycourse.com. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. By popular demand, I have Ryan Daniel Moran on the show. And when I say popular demand, I mean demand. People were absolutely insisting I had to talk to this guy, particularly after he posted a video on Facebook showing the $170,000 tax check he was sending in to the IRS, and his commentary on that attracted a lot of my listeners. And I had, I think, two separate threads maybe over on the supporting listeners private Facebook group saying, look, Woods, you know, that's it. There's going to be a mutiny here if you don't get Ryan Daniel Moran on the show. And so that's indeed what we're doing. Now, we're going to talk in a minute about why there are actually two episodes. There's going to be another episode with him a couple weeks from now. And there was just a funny thing that happened the first time he and I tried talking. I hijacked the whole conversation. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. Ryan Daniel Moran is an extremely successful entrepreneur, very young guy, too. He puts me to shame. But he's also a libertarian, which is a great thing and makes sense in light of his success and his overall goals. He favors capitalism and he sees the fruits of it. In fact, he owns the rights now to capitalism.com, which will go live in a few months. So I'm glad capitalism.com is in good hands rather than the hands of one of the bad guys. And in total, he's probably got about six or seven businesses. But I want to talk to him about this video he made about his tax bill and how does a guy like this become an entrepreneur and that makes him a libertarian, or was he a libertarian beforehand? Anyway, we'll have a lot of fun. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Tom, thanks so much for having me on. It's great to be here.
All right. Look, I told everybody in the intro here there's something a little funny about all this and that I was going to reveal it with you here. And it's that this is actually the second conversation we've had, but we're airing it first because here we were. You know, you're such a good sport. You came on the last minute to talk to me because I just had to have you on after you made that video about the huge, huge tax bill you just paid. And I got all my listeners saying, if you don't get this guy on here, we're going to come over to your house and force you to do it. So I got you on, and we talked about taxes for about 5 seconds, and then because of my personal interest these days, all I did was badger you about your businesses and what you do for a living and your coaching and whatever. And so we never even got to really talk about the whole thing that you had sort of prepared for and everything. I got completely off track. But you know, when you're on episode 648, you are allowed a few deviations, so I'm not going to beat myself up too much. But anyway, let's talk about the whole thing you want to talk about the first time. First, let's talk about that video that you did, and then we'll talk about the economic implications of the fact that you paid the government that amount of money.
Yeah, so I made that video. I was writing a check to the government while pretty much puking in my mouth. It was for $170,000. And the reason I did it, and that was a portion of our tax burden for 2015. And there's a story of kind of why we owed more at the end. There's something I call it the reverse loophole. We hear a lot about loopholes for the rich, but there's loopholes for the government too. I think we all know this. And a lot of people don't know about that. But really the reason why I made the video of me holding up this tax bill of $170,000 is because I wanted to put a face on who is so commonly demonized as the rich one percenters who are stealing off the backs of hardworking Americans. And I don't think people really get that the majority of those people are really just hardworking entrepreneurs who are trying to create good products, hire people, and do cool things in the world. And I know because I like to think that I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
And I do well, but as a result of the reverse loophole and some other things we'll probably talk about, I didn't take home as much as what on paper it said I made. And as a result, I can't hire as many people as I'd like to hire. And of course, on a Facebook video, no matter how honest you are or how good looking you are, you know how that is, Tom. You're gonna have haters and some really terrible comments. So it was really interesting experience to just share a bit about your life, to share why you personally think it's a good idea for the government to stay out of business and for business to be allowed to grow and hire people, and why that ultimately is going to be the solution for our problems. But even when you frame it like that, there are people who just want to be offended, because I think most people just want to feel secure and safe, and that they're comparing themselves to others, and that's always a losing game. And if we consider ourselves free people, we have to take personal responsibility for our results, not blame other people for what we're getting or not getting.
Now, Ryan, I'll tell you, I honestly couldn't care less what you want to do with that money. It's your money. If you want to fritter it away frivolously, that's your business. But all the same, I know that that wasn't your intent, that if you had that $170,000 back, well, what would you have done with it?
Now, this is a little uncomfortable for me to talk about, because I do take care of friends and family, and I wanted to do that a little bit more. I had to do it a little bit less. We still did take care of some friends and family. I personally have a friend who is sick and dealing with a lot of bills, and we made the decision to help that person out. I would have liked to be even more generous. Forgive me. I've never talked about that before, but really what I wanted to do was hire more people. I mean, really, I have businesses that I believe in. I have businesses that I run because I think they make the world a better place. And one of those, as we talked about in our mysterious episode that will be aired later, is I work with entrepreneurs. I believe in capitalism. I own capitalism.com. I work with individuals to produce more in the economy. And I believe that's how we make the world a better place. I have a team of 8 people on that business. I wanted it to be a team of 12 in the next 12 months. And we might still get there, but it'll be harder to get there. It'll be slower to get there. And I have another business that orders inventory for physical products. We have suppliers here in the US. We order several hundred thousand dollars of inventory at a time. And that business was really hurt by this, because this is what I consider the reverse loophole, Tom. We order inventory, we then sell that inventory, and that's how we make a profit and how we pay for our employees and our team members and our advertising and all of that. So, but inventory is not an expense. It's considered an asset. So if we started a business on January 1st, 2015, and we by some chance made $1 million profit, I'm just making up numbers, but if we made $1 million profit in 2015, but at the end of 2015, we had to go order $1 million worth of inventory because we've got all these customers and we're advertising, we've got a team now, we're all excited that we've got $1 million worth of inventory on the way, and it drained our bank account, we still show on paper a profit of $1 million. So now I've got to write a check for that money. I've got to write a check for that that tax on that $1 million. So if we factor that in, the government would get like $990,000 of that million, or whatever it is. So what happened with us is those weren't the numbers that they were, but it was that scenario where we had a lot of profit on paper in 2015. But at the end, we had to order inventory just like we normally would. And that drained the bank account a lot, because it was hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then we still had to pay tax on the money before we ordered the inventory, because it's not an expense. It's considered an asset. So that's what I consider kind of the reverse loophole that caused the overage of what I was writing in that video for $170,000. Now, if we could have just operated as I think we should be able to and been able to write that off, then we could have hired more aggressively, could have sold that inventory faster because we would have had more money to advertise, we could have scaled up faster, and that's not how it works. And I think people need to understand that when the government gets involved, even with good intentions to solve problems, it has to rob from other places where solutions are being made. And I don't think people get that. I don't think people get that you have to rob Peter to pay Paul. And Paul doesn't spend money very wisely. So I'd rather just Peter hold on to it. And so when people are calling for government to be the solution, I think they miss the fact that they have to rob from people who are trying to solve problems, people who are creating jobs and creating opportunity in order to do that. And that's my long-winded answer for how we were affected by this and why I wanted people to know about it.
Ryan, these are, I assure you, entirely rhetorical questions. They're building up to something. But in your businesses, you have not been dishonest, fraudulent, or cheated people out of anything, right?
That is correct.
So you've done nothing morally wrong. And yet, people who don't even know you, complete strangers, who saw your video, automatically assumed all kinds of – that you must be wicked just because you had the kind of money to be taxed at that level. Isn't that the nature of some of the criticism you got? They just automatically assumed you must be a horrible person.
I was accused of being racist, which
– Racist.
I never mentioned
nothing to
race
do with
in
anything.
The video.
Yeah.
I was accused of being, quote, in the pocket of Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton?
Which was really entertaining. I was accused of taking bailout money, which was hilarious. I mean, the types of things that came up because look, people think that success and that the one percenters are this mysterious backroom group, and they're not. They're forgive me, I won't say average people, but I mean they're normal, hardworking Americans who have either saved or created or done something in the economy to be rewarded by the fruits of their labor in the marketplace. So I one of the things I wanted to do was kind of just expose that, look, I have a 10-month-old daughter that she probably needs a college fund, even though by then college might be obsolete. Who knows? And we'll all have self-driving cars. And so she won't even need a car. But I have a 10-month-old daughter. I'd love to invest in her future. I have employees. I'd love to invest in their future. But really, if I just wanted to spend it at the mall, I would probably create more good than the government going and spending it on a war. And I think people miss that. I think it's an undersold message. And I think that I think as libertarians, we need to be a little bit more strategic about how we frame that debate. Because we love to talk about how the government does bad things, but we rarely fill the gap of where entrepreneurs or private citizens are doing good things. I mean, do we really think that the best breakthroughs in healthcare are going to come from government? Now, we would probably agree that we all want people to have healthcare. Like, I want everyone to have access to the best and the cheapest healthcare possible. I just know that the government's not going to be able to do that. I know that that solution is only going to come from private individuals. It's only going to come from entrepreneurs who do great things. It's going to come from the people who are 3D printing organs and are coming up with new solutions to diseases and are putting out information that might fly in the face of what the FDA says. And it's going to come from competition. And I think we have to remember that that's how we change hearts and minds. We can't just say that we can't just go and be like the people who commented on my video and said, I'm a racist Hillary Clinton shill who took bailout money. Like we can't go to that level. We have to say, no, I want what's best for everyone. And I think the world's better when the government stays out, because I know the government creates war and the government spends frivolously and the government has bureaucracy, whereas business comes up with solutions to problems and are financially rewarded for solving those problems. And forgive me for ranting and getting passionate, but I think as libertarians who care, who want to see a difference in the world, we have to learn and remember that we ultimately want the same end goals of people to be healthy, wealthy, and happy. And most people just say, oh, there's a problem. We have a goal. Let's have government do it. And we have to remember that we're trying to solve problems, not just arguing on a philosophical basis.
All right. Here's what I want to ask you. You're a really young guy, especially considering how well you've been doing. And I'm wondering if you became, you know, if you came to hold these views of the world, you know, these more or less libertarian views, did you come to these views through entrepreneurship? Like, in other words, you get into business and you see all the obstacles you have and the taxes, and that makes you discover libertarianism, or were you always one all along?
Yes and yes, I suppose. It's kind of an interesting story where I started my first business when I was in college, and I was doing really, really well. It took off quickly. It was very profitable very quickly. And I actually had some guilt over my success. I was 19 years old. I was making really good money. I was making more than my parents. And I actually had a lot of guilt over that. And I wrestled with that because I felt like maybe I didn't deserve it. Maybe I hadn't really earned it. I didn't know what to make of all of that. I had a wonderful economics teacher in college who came from kind of a Mises point of view. And he was very publicly encouraging of entrepreneurship and very encouraging of the fact that when we maximize our earning potential, when we are successful, we do that as the result of doing things that other people value in the marketplace. And that creating and succeeding isn't about taking, it's about delivering more value. And that there is no fixed amount in the economy. I think this whole debate that we would have in mostly the political world would shatter if we understood, if everyone understood that there's not a fixed pie, that by me buying a car or by me earning money, I don't hurt Tom Wood's ability to also earn the same amount or even more. Because there is no fixed amount. Wealth is a flexible concept. It gets created by innovation and new products and services and faster ways of delivering things. And when I really started to understand economics, that is when I started to feel good about me being an entrepreneur, because I recognized the fact that I wasn't being selfish by being successful. It was actually the best thing I could do for my neighbor. It was the best thing I could do for my community to be successful. It allowed me to do more good. It allowed me to invest in other people who were doing good things or solve more problems, either on a personal basis because someone's going through a hard time or through an entrepreneurial vehicle of creating products that solve problems. So it was through entrepreneurship, but it was through kind of overcoming some feelings of guilt that I had about being an entrepreneur. And I'm very thankful for that professor, because I don't think that most people ever really overcome that. And I think that's why they're resentful of success instead.
I know a story even of somebody who just worked in I know this is an old profession, in a music store. You know, now people get everything on iTunes now, but in the old days, you used to go and look for a CD or a cassette. And this guy used to have the view that maybe they were kind of screwing the customers in some way. And then he discovered the idea of, you know, the way the Austrians or almost any good economist describes exchange is that both parties benefit.
Yeah.
Because why would I give you $10 for a CD unless I valued the CD at more than $10? And I would rather have that than the $10. Whereas you, the seller, would rather have the $10 than the CD. So we both walk away happy. And as soon as he got that basic insight, he felt better about what he was doing. And likewise, you know, when you come to see that you're adding value, you're making people's lives better, it helps you feel better about yourself, especially living in a culture that, I mean, not as much as some countries, but still that does make you feel guilty and make you feel bad and that casts businessmen always as the villains in the movie, right? Aren't they? They're always the villain.
Yeah, I think we have to address that when we're having that conversation with people. One of the most entertaining hours of my life was watching the footage of when Peter Schiff went to the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Oh.
And he holds a sign that says, I'm in the 1%,
the 1%.
Let's talk.
Yeah.
And he makes this point. There's this individual who says, if you make $100 million, imagine how many jobs you could create if you only made $50 million. And Peter Schiff says, I think you're forgetting how many jobs I had to create to get to $100 million. And it's the same thing with wealth and value in a business. In order to make $100 million or $1 million or $1, you have to enter into a private exchange that somebody else said, this is worth my dollars. So the very act of selling something or the very act of creating a business that's profitable is a value-adding service. You are making the pie bigger just by existing.
Right.
And people don't get that. They think, oh, they're rich, so they took. No, they're rich because they created more. That was value that wasn't there before. And that concept is something that I think is so undersold in our community. And I think that when you understand that that's the case, it changes the conversation. Except, of course, if government gets involved, because government doesn't create value, it destroys value. It takes value and then destroys it. So I think we've got to get that into the conversation if we really want to change minds.
I have a bit of an interest in entrepreneurship myself, for among other reasons that it has an obvious connection to libertarianism. So I had Patrick Byrne on the show, a CEO of Overstock.com, and he's very openly a libertarian. Like, everybody in the world knows he's a libertarian. And I asked him, has that ever caused you problems for your business, that you're the outspoken libertarian CEO? And he said basically no, he couldn't stop himself even if he tried, and that's just his personality. But so I'm curious about you. You've come on here and you sound like me, but but you have businesses to run. You have a number of businesses. Do you try and keep this out of that? I mean, you did make that video about the taxes, so that did kind of get you out of the, I don't want to say closet, but you know what I mean?
I believe very strongly that in letting my companies reflect my beliefs, and by doing so, I think we will naturally turn away those who wouldn't be a fit to be our customers anyway, and attract more of those who might choose us because of those beliefs. So no, I don't consider it a problem. I will tell you though, it has at times created conflict with team members or employees.
Yeah.
And that has only existed because it creates some very constructive debate. And there's never been fist flying here in the office, but we have had situations in which one of our employees was a longtime employee of TSA, and there was a major kind of learning curve in the philosophy of how I look at life after working at TSA for many years. And that didn't create arguments, but I could see her really struggling with the shift for a while, until one day she was like, I never really got that there was so much potential to life, that there was, I don't have to wait for someone else to create the life that I want. I can create the life that I want. And every day it's always felt like she sees that a little bit more and a little bit more. And that has been really rewarding. And that's the type of experience I wouldn't have if I wasn't really public about what I believe to be true.
All right. Before I let you go, well, I was about to say, you know, we'll need to have you back a second time, but the audience will know I'm just scamming them because I've already talked to you a second time. So, yeah, obviously you're coming back on the show, but we'll talk about this a little bit more at that time. But I still, you know, I want to let you say something about your website and where people can find you and what they'll find there and so on. So why don't you take a minute to do that?
Great. So my website's freedomfastlane.com. I blog and podcast about entrepreneurship and business. Sometimes I go on crazy political rants, but mostly I talk about business and train entrepreneurs, and that's at freedomfastlane.com.
Okay. So we'll link to that at tomwoods.com/648. And I'm really looking forward to our next conversation. I'll put it that way. Thanks for your time today, Ryan.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
All right, that'll do it for today's episode. Remember, tomwoods.com/648 is the show notes page for today. I got a couple of interesting authors coming up as the week continues, and I know you're going to enjoy hearing from them. So I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.